Funding for WBUR comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
A progressive movement of young people demanding radical change, demanding justice, a movement giving voice and power to young people when for far too long they were ignored.
That is Senator Ed Markey, who's heading on to November, having survived one of the hardest challenges of his career in winning yesterday's Democratic U.S. Senate primary election. And in doing so, he made history, delivering the Kennedy family its first loss in a Massachusetts federal election. Here's Markey's defeated challenger, Congressman Joe Kennedy.
We built a campaign for working folks of every color and creed, who carry the economic injustice of this country on their backs.
WBUR's Kellen Borchers was with the Markey campaign at the Malden Public Library last night as Markey declared victory. Cal joins us now. Good morning, Cal.
Good morning, Bob.
So in the end, it was a pretty wide margin for Ed Markey, 56% to 44% at last check. At one point, Markey was the underdog in the race. Tell us what happened.
Right. I mean, the earliest polls had Markey down by as many as 17 points in some cases. You know, I think a key decision for him, Bob, was deciding not to renew his People's Pledge that he's used in previous campaigns. This, of course, is the pledge that we're not going to accept any outside groups spending money on this race. He didn't want to go this route this time because I think he anticipated that there were going to be outside progressive groups who would rally to his support. And boy, did they. I woke up this morning to an email from the Sunrise Movement, a group of environmentalists, saying that they delivered victory for Ed Markey. Now, that may be a bit hyperbolic, but I think it was helpful to him in this race. And the other thing, Bob, I think, is that ultimately, you know, Joe Kennedy argued that he would fight harder for the same causes that they both support. He'd be more present in the state. But ultimately, he didn't really differentiate himself on policy.
It was a bruising fight for Ed Markey, who's been in Washington for more than four decades. So does he come out of this weaker or stronger as he heads now into the November election against his Republican opponent?
Right. And that Republican opponent is going to be Kevin O'Connor after his primary win yesterday. And O'Connor says that, you know, Joe Kennedy exposed Ed Markey's vulnerabilities, particularly his habit of spending too much time in Washington and too little in Massachusetts. That's what his detractors say anyway. But I think, Bob, that he actually may end up being stronger overall because that fall general election may not be all that competitive. And if that's the case, what is going to happen, I think, is that Ed Markey is going to be able to demonstrate that he has a mandate from the younger progressives who rallied to his side. You know, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez is the big national name, but it also includes local influencers like the 49-year-old Suffolk County District Attorney, Rachel Rollins. I caught up with her at Markey's campaign headquarters last night, and here's some of what she told me.
I stand firmly aligned with his policies, and as the co-sponsor of the Green New Deal, as leading with qualified immunity, or at least talking about these things before many other people were, I just look at him and am deeply impressed, and it is completely aligned with what I believe in.
And one other thing, Bob, I think that the race also raised Ed Markey's profile a bit, both in the state and nationally.
And of course, for Republican Kevin O'Connor, Markey's opponent in November, it's always or almost always an uphill battle for any Republican trying to upset a Democratic incumbent in the state. What accounts for Kennedy's loss, and what do you think what happened in the election yesterday means for Kennedy's future?
Well, you know, one thing that stood out to me was in his concession speech last night, Joe Kennedy said that his family name was invoked more often than he expected. I'm a bit surprised that he was surprised, Bob. Although he did seem unsure for some of the race about how to talk about his family legacy, he certainly embraced it more fully down the stretch. But I think that was a stumbling block for him, at least early on in the race. I do think he made a strong affirmative case for his own candidacy pretty consistently throughout the race. And that's consistent with the way that he has run his congressional races in previous years. But he didn't convince voters, or enough voters anyway, that Ed Markey needed to be replaced. I think some of the questions we have now, of course, are, you know, what's going to be next for Joe Kennedy? I mean, if Senator Elizabeth Warren, for example, is going to be part of Joe Biden's cabinet, if Joe Biden were to win the presidency, that would open up a chance for a special election. So would he perhaps try again to win a Senate seat in the very near future? Could he run for governor in a couple of years? Or perhaps he'll spend some time in the private sector. I think that he'll have plenty of time to sort that out, but certainly political observers like myself are watching with interest.
And Kennedy, in his speech last night, did say that the race was worth it and kind of hinted that he might do it again in the future. But who knows, as you point out. Kennedy had to give up his seat to run for the Senate. And the race to replace him is unbelievably tight this morning.
Yeah, I mean, we expected it to be close, but boy, it really is coming down to a whisker. You know, the two leading candidates are in a virtual tie right now. Jesse Mermel has the slimmest of leads, just 105 votes out of tens of thousands that may still need to be counted over Jake Hockenclaw. And that's with 80% of the precincts reporting. So still, you know, a fifth of the way to go. Both those candidates have about 22% support. There's a sort of symmetry here, by the way, because Ed Markey, way back in 1976, won his first congressional primary with about 22% of the vote. So it just shows how you can come out of a crowded field and build a long career, and they're both hoping that's going to be them. You know, the field was down to seven by Election Day, but a couple of other candidates are also receiving votes because it was so crowded and you had mail-in ballots out for weeks. You know, right now, Bob, the candidates are sort of sending different messages. You know, Jesse Mermel is saying it's too close for anybody to declare victory. Hockenclaw is taking a slightly different tone. He's saying that he's confident he's going to be the winner when all the ballots are counted.
All right, well, we'll see who's right. WBUR's Cal Borchers, thanks a lot for joining us this morning.
Glad to be with you.